Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Being a Person of Influence by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
15 chapter verse 19. I deliberately wanted to wait till most of y'all came back to church, okay? Because I wanted most of you to hear this message as I continue, because I believe this is a word that God has given me to help us be effective as Christians in the earth. To draw people and not drive people. Do y'all know Christians who just drive people away rather than draw people closer? Come on. I don't want us to be that kind of Christian. Now, and as I'll talk about it during even this morning. But I used to be that kind of Christian. And as a young person, I boasted about it. Because people would say stuff, you know, people don't want to be around me because they know I'm holy. People don't mess with me. Sinners don't come around me because they know I serve Jesus. Well, you can never get nobody saved if everybody's scared to be around you. That's not being a person of influence. That's being obnoxious. For those you know what obnoxious means, you cause people not to like you. So Jeremiah 15, chapter verse 19, I'm reading it from the New Living Translation. It said, this is how the Lord responds. This is what God tells Jeremiah. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. Now watch this. It's interesting enough. We know in Jeremiah, the first chapter, we see God calls Jeremiah as a child. And says, Jeremiah says, I'm a child. He said, no, don't you call yourself a child. I'm going to put my word in your mouth. You're going to be able to tear down. You're going to be able to plant, to restore, tear down, to build up. I'm going to put my word in your mouth. And God calls him and uses him and says, go where I tell you to go. Set your eyes like flint. Nobody's going to be able to stand against your words. And now God speaks to him later and says, you got to do something if you're going to continue to be my spokesman. Which means that God can decide to stop using you. Now God says you can continue, but you have certain things you're going to have to do. Otherwise, you won't be representing me anymore. Now you may still be in a position. See, the thing about ministry is this. You can be fired and still be operating in a position. And fired. Still getting up, performing in the pulpit, in the platform, doing whatever. But God says you are fired. And when God fires you, that means he's no longer backing you up. He's no longer endorsing you. He's no longer empowering you. So he tells Jeremiah here, he says, if you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. And then he says this. This is a command to him. You must influence them and do not let them influence you. Say with me. Say, I must influence the world, but not let the world influence me. So God wants us to be people of influence. And real quick review to bring us back around this subject. We say influence is the ability to affect others without force or pressure. Let me add this. Influence is the ability to change an environment that's around you. And there's a concern today that Christians and the church is losing its influence. Sometimes it's been a result of sin, scandals, or even lack of anointing. We saw that Jesus was a man of influence. He increased in wisdom and favor, wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. So many people are running after him that at one point they said in John 12 and 19, the world is going after him. That's how much influence Jesus had. And then he gave his influence to disciples. And he tells us, which still applies to us today, based upon Matthew 5, ye are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But now he is now not, no, Jesus is no longer in the world physically. He's in the world through the Holy Spirit and through us. And so now he says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its saltiness or flavor, wherein shall it be salted? It's no longer affected. It's no longer influencing. You know, I had to get used to it, but because Pastor Marcia, I think she found something now, because, you know, she does her best not to cook with salt. And so she don't cook with salt. And one time she was using something. She said, there, it's a different kind of salt. And I want to tell her, this salt has lost its saltiness. This ain't working. Now whatever she's using now, it seems like it's not real salt, but it can taste even more salty. He's saying, if you can't taste it, then what's the point of putting it on there? If it's no longer preserving anything, why even bothering to use it? You're just going through the motions. And God doesn't want us to just go through the motions in the as Christians. We saw in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 7, that God tells his people, I don't want you intermarrying with other people. Had nothing to do with skin color, nationality. He said, because I don't want them to turn your heart against God. And they influence you against me. That's what he says in Deuteronomy 7, verse 3 and 4. Because they may cause you to serve their God. Paul warns the church. He tells us to be followers of God as dear children. He says, but fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. He said, I know all that stuff's going on in the world, but it should not be named among us. Everybody say us. Because there is a us and them. Paul says, I know what the world's doing, what they're doing out there in Hollywood or down the street or whatever, but that's not supposed to be us. And why are we measuring our lifestyle based upon the world? So Romans 12 tells us, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds. So we saw that the early church was an influential church everywhere that they went. Then we talked a little about influence versus power. Influence, that intangible quality that makes others want to follow you, be associated with you, respect you, because of positive qualities that are in your life. And we said, if you're going to be a person of influence, you got to put your purpose and principles above your passion. Well, this is what I really want. This is why I really feel this way. I really feel strongly about this. Or I'm mad, or I'm upset, or I got so much, or I'm so happy, whatever. That we respond in our emotions and our passion rather than still sticking to our purposes and our principles. Amen. All right. Let's move on today. So when you're a person of influence, we said, number one, people want to be around you. Second, we said you'll attract other influential people. Influence attracts influence. The woman at the well in John 4 was able to get a whole city. And the Bible says, and this is, it was men that she went to, because that's who she had influence with. Come on, you know you got influence. You can get 6 men to marry you. She had 6 husbands. I would have been scared to be around her. Okay? She had 6 husbands. Then, and one she was with now wasn't hers, implying either she was just living with a man, which, by the way, I'm going to say this and keep on moving, which should not be named among us. I know that's what they do. I know the world shacks and cohabitate. That shouldn't be among us. Mm-hmm. Marriage is honorable. All right, let's move on here. And then number 3, we said influence will attract money and provision. Did I talk about that? It depends on how often you come to church. Mm-hmm. Let's look at that. Look at Luke 8 and 3. Luke 8 and 3, the New Living Translation. It says that among the people that followed Jesus was Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's business manager. So Herod's chief of staff, his wife was one of the followers of Jesus. Herod's the governor. Susanna and many others were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. So Jesus was not broke, nor was his ministry broke and poor, as religious people try to tell you, because he was a man of influence. Oh, this is so good. When you're a person of influence, you'll never be broke. I said, when you're a person of influence, you will never be broke, because you affect people's lives in a way that people would not want you to be broke. They will reciprocate because of how you positively affect their lives. Amen. So influence will attract money and it'll attract provision, even as it did with Jesus. And then fourthly, influence changes the people and the environment around you. It changes the people and the environment around you. So let me go a little deeper today, and I want to talk more detailedly about being a person of being an influential person. So how do I become an influential person? Pastor, you've been talking over the month, you were teaching on this about what a person of influence is, what it looks like. How do I become that kind of person? Because I believe all of us should be people of influence. Can I tell you this? God did not save you to be insignificant. Let me say that again. God did not save you to be insignificant. As a result of you being saved, something ought to be getting better. Your family ought to be getting better. Your work environment is better. That company is better. Your community is better. You are saved to influence something and someplace and somebody. Now, everyone does not have a stage. Everyone is not going to have the same reach of influence. Everybody's not going to have the same range of influence. But everybody who's saved ought to influence something, someplace, and someone. And so Paul says, I believe in Philippians, the third chapter, I want to apprehend that from which I've been apprehended. I teach about that scripture all the time. That's such a powerful scripture to me. Paul said, I want to apprehend that from which I've been apprehended. He said, when God saved me, he had some specific things, some places, some people in mind that I'm supposed to reach, I'm supposed to touch, I'm supposed to affect. And I want to apprehend that from which I've been apprehended. I want to get that from which God got me. I want to accomplish that for which God accomplished me. I want to take that for which God took me. I'm in this world and I'm in the kingdom of God to influence something, someplace, and somebody. So all of you should desire or have a passion to affect whatever God saved you to affect. And for many of you, that's just going to start with your own family. I often think of my uncle, Bishop Bailey. He got saved as a young man. I think he was maybe late 20s or maybe around 30. And I think today, as a result of him, I can name 4 other preachers who are in our family because of him. He never had natural children of his own. But he got a whole bunch of spiritual children and spiritual grandchildren and great grandchildren. And so I often remind him of the range of his influence. Sometimes your influence is not going to be measured in one generation. It's because of what you put in your children that they're going to change the world. Because of what you put in your children that they're going to change somebody else. Are y'all with me here? And so all of us should desire to be an influential person. How do I do that? Number one, I'll go as far as I can go today. You need to be determined to be an excellent person. Everybody say, I must be a person of excellence. When we started this ministry, we had an overhead projector with transparencies. What you talking about? That was excellent at the time. When our first programs had clip art on it. Some of y'all don't know nothing about that. I did it myself. Okay? Typed up our programs and had things printed. I mean, that's where we were at the time. We were in a little rented place. But we put plants and flowers around. I remember a particular person said, I decided to come to this church. She said, because I've never seen such a church that was this small, that was this excellent. And I often tell pastors, I say, you got to be excellent where you are so people can see where you're going. Man, if they do this with 500, man, imagine what we can do when we get 5,000. We do this with 5,000. Imagine what could happen if they had 50,000. See, you got to be excellent along the way. Well, all we got one black dress. Keep it clean. Mix it up. You put a belt, then get some beads, then a necklace. Throw a scarf around it. Let everybody say, man, every time I see them, they are looking sharp. And they just got so many different black dress outfits. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When we started ministry, I didn't have much money. I couldn't shop very often. Every now and then, I'd get myself a little extra $25 or $50. I went to Marshall's. I went to Burlington. Okay? Now, I'll be honest with y'all. I don't shop in Marshall and Burlington no more. I don't have to. And I'm not saying anything. But, you know, most of my stuff I'm able to order now from different places and different kinds of stuff. But anyway, that's what. And I couldn't get a suit. I get myself a $10, $15 shirt and a new tie. What you talking about? And coming up here, what? Same suit. New shirt, new tie. Cost $25. I can't go around looking like a bum. Come to, you know, I ain't got much money. When everybody's like, well, you can see that. You shouldn't be advertising if you don't have much money. Oh, that's good right there. You should not be advertising that you don't have much money. Now, some of this, y'all, and I'm talking to African Americans right now, we've kind of backslid in this area. I ain't talking about backsliding spiritually right now. Because there was something traditionally about us that we gonna look good even if it ain't good. We were raised to look that. Come on, you might not have pot nor window. Y'all fill in the blanks. But you ain't going to know it by how I'm looking. Going to lift your head up. Glory to God. I suppress my suit so much it used to shine. But I ain't having no wrinkles. Everybody say, be a person of excellence. And so, excellence means I'm defining excellence as the attention to detail that brings glory to God. Excellence is the attention to detail that brings glory to God. Excellence is also the attention to detail that makes people give positive remarks. Attention to detail that makes people give positive remarks. Joseph was a person of excellence. And as a result of Joseph being a person of excellence in Potiphar's house, he was a prosperous slave that now he ends up being the head business manager, chief of staff, the house manager for Potiphar because he was a person of excellence. Solomon was a person of excellence that when they saw his kingdom and saw his men and his ministers and his attendants, his fame went around the world that people came to see it as an example of how you run a kingdom. Of how people attend to a king. How the order of things ought to be. Daniel was such an excellent person. The Bible says that he had such an excellent spirit in him that he was made one of the three governors and then he was made the princes of the governors. So he's now made the prime minister or in our society or culture, he would be the vice president. All because of excellence. And so there's a promise for being a person of excellence. Look at Proverbs 29, 22 and 29. Proverbs 22, 29. It says, see thou a man diligent in his business. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. Now that word mean there means average or ordinary. It says, you show me somebody who's diligent. Somebody who's excellent. Somebody who gives attention to detail. He said, he's going to stand before kings. He's going to be promoted. He's going to be brought into places that you don't bring other people. How many of y'all know you can't take everybody with you? Now, I know y'all love your friends. You love your family. But you cannot take everybody with you. Some people got to say, you got to do like Moses. Now, you stay right here. Me and the lad, we going up. Y'all stay right here. Because where God's taking me, you may not be able to go. And then here's the other thing. People start judging you by your company. So you bring certain people around you, you make yourself look like a fool. I thought they were smart, but they was dumb enough to bring that person with them. So you have to be conscious of that. See that? Now listen to that verse from two other translations. Proverbs 22:29. Do you see truly competent workers? Everybody say competent workers. They will serve kings rather than working for ordinary people. So essence means being diligent. Essence means being competent. You don't just do it. Do it right. I heard Kenneth Copeland say this years ago, and it stuck with me. He said, if you don't have time to do it right, when you gonna find time to do it over? Let me say it again. If you don't have time to do it right, when you gonna find time to do it over? So be competent. Do the best you can. Cross your T's, dot your I's. He's going to serve kings rather than paupers. He's going to be brought into places other people won't be brought into. In each of those situations, in Joseph and in Daniel, they were average men, average Jewish boys who end up being brought before kings because they had an excellent spirit. They were served kings rather than working for ordinary people. They're going to be brought into a place where they can be shown off that I'm smart enough to have this kind of person around me. Let me say that again. The people you have around you and who run with you and you run with can make you look good or bad. They can make you look wise or they can make you look like a fool. There was a particular singer. Well, everybody thought she was here. She died now. Everybody thought she was up here. And when they saw who she married, they said, oh, we got her. She's not what we thought. She's just dressed up for stage. Oh, y'all. Because who you choose is reflective of your intelligence.
Who are you influencing in your everyday life? Are you positively affecting others? Bishop Herbert Bailey will help you to impact those around you and become a person of influence. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for Being a Person of Influence. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.